I mean, the definition of you want to try to cancel me. I ask my clients what they want, and that's what I get. They say, I have wedding season and bikini season. I want to get rid of my thighs and my muffin top. That's what we're going to work on. I get the whole like body positive gainers, thyroid issues, and people have hereditary and your body physique. I get that. But that still doesn't mean you shouldn't get up on a bike or get outside and run and go swim and look to be better. Condoning eating double cheeseburgers and sitting there like that and then be like, I'm beautiful, in my opinion, that's for somebody, right? But that's not healthy. And it's been scientifically proven that like health and wellness, cardio, swimming, biking, strength training has helped you. And eating like shit doesn't. Oh, I'm diabetic. All right, cool. But you could not eat sugar every day. You could have a thyroid problem. You could still work out. This is what my product is. If it's exclusive, it's exclusive. If it's inclusive, it's inclusive. That's your opinion. I'm not scared of being canceled because honestly, it's my opinion, man. We live in a free society. And if you want to just keep canceling people, fine.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Creating the 4% Podcast, real life stories from Fit Pros. I'm your host, Maria Costello. Stories of motivation, discipline, failure, and success from your favorite fitness instructors, a podcast about how to create an impactful and meaningful class, which amounts to 4% of a person's day. Made with sweat, for Fit Pros, by Fit Pros. Thanks for listening, and let's get this episode started.
All right, welcome back, everybody. At the age of 17, he was on his own as a D1 athlete at the University of Pittsburgh when a back injury halted his sports dreams. Joey Foley lived out of a suitcase for a few years, traveling through Europe, and eventually landed in New York City, where he applied to be an intern at a law firm, which unexpectedly led him to the world of real estate. In 2008, he was one of the top real estate brokers in New York City, making a cool $125 million in sales, which paid for his NYU education in economics. And oh, by the way, he graduated top three in his class. And no big deal, he was just your typical 23-year-old. From investment banking to hedge fund manager to big IPOs to his own consulting firm, he was living the American dream. The girlfriend, the apartment, the money, but he wasn't happy. Triathlons, Asia, and a SoulCycle class revealed a new path as a fitness entrepreneur, and Joey walked away from everything he has built to pursue fitness. SoulCycle told him he was not very soulful. Flywheel and Peloton said he was not a good fit. And in this moment, his source of motivation was born and the quintessential Joey Foley fighting spirit flourished. In 2018, he opened his own studio. And like the stock market, life for Joey has been mostly up, but with a lot of crashes. For the first time ever in the history of this podcast, I'm sitting at Pedal House in Flatiron, New York City. Pedal House offers a unique fitness experience that goes beyond just a high-energy workout. Their rhythm-based cycling classes combine the principles of kinesiology with a transformative practice of active meditation, providing clients with a holistic approach to achieving their fitness goals and finding inner balance. Joey is now embarking on a new venture, advocating and supporting fitness studios with PowerPass, a new class booking platform which promises to disrupt the current third-party ecosystem. Pure exhaustion is his love language. Pivoting is his superpower. A hustler, a grinder, a father, a husband, a risk taker. And you'll either love him or hate him, but he'll never quit on you. It is an honor to welcome Joey Foley, co-founder and co-owner of Pedal House, to Creating the 4% Podcast. Joey, welcome.
God, that's all online.
A little research.
Wow, I was like, wow, I've done a lot. It wasn't 125 million in just 2008. It was my course of 2008 to 2012.
Thank you for clarifying.
You didn't have to edit it. This is actually quite impressive. I had two sport athlete, track and football, and then all online?
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
I know you haven't done a lot of interviews, but there's a lot of information out there. First of all, thank you for having me. Thank you for answering a random DM. And I really want to say thank you for not just saying yes to say yes. I really respected the fact that you asked me when I said to you, I think your story is remarkable and so interesting. And then you pushed back and said, what story?
Yes.
And I appreciate that because I really take time to look for people that I think have not just interesting stories, but interesting perspective to share with fitness professionals, and you being one and now being an owner and now going into a whole new venture of entrepreneurship in the realm of fitness and third-party booking platforms specifically. That's a topic that really appeals to a lot of different fitness professionals, owners, and people who listen to this podcast. So thank you. I'm going to pass it over to you. And you're just going to share with everyone how your fitness journey began.
It's a great question. First off, thank you. I'm not really big on social media. We've been active on it. We've been leaning into it because my wife and I, as we were discussing before, we're the people who are like, if you want to be with us, you'll find us. We've always been that way. We never lean into marketing, and it's kind of word of mouth has always been organic and growth. Fitness, I wouldn't say it was fitness. It's actually sports. I grew up with a football on my hand before I could walk. Right. I was pushing a football around. Just was an athlete. My mom was a gymnast. My father football. I had a decent childhood. Why fitness and sports actually connect really well is whatever was going on at home, I was always a three sport athlete, even more. We all have our issues with at home stuff or girlfriends and boyfriends and studying and stuff. But anytime I ever stepped on like the football field or in track or jumped in the pool, everything kind of went away. That was my meditation. That's where I excelled. You know, as a kid, they thought I had all these issues because I couldn't sit still. And I was always like, I needed move, and they're like, there's something wrong with him. And the reality was that there was nothing wrong with me. I just wanted to be active, and not hyperactive. And they were like pilling kids out, and I went on the pills. It just made me miserable. It was bad. But they realized like, oh, he's like, needs to just move. It was weird. Like, he has allergies. And the more I ran, I could breathe. It was like all these things led to this situation. And unfortunately, the combination of just not being coached properly, as far as like learning from books and the internet, and not really like thinking about like body movement and stretching, that really ruined my back. And then the combination of just like the wrong lifting ways and stuff. Two back surgeries later, at the time was an experiment. I was one of the first ones to get the surgery. But like, oh, you're not gonna go play. And then now it's an outpatient procedure and you're good 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
But at the time I wasn't, and then you know, went on. When I lost all that, that's when my life kind of, I lost who I was.
Do you think you knew who you were at such a young age?
Absolutely not. I still don't know. And I think that's okay. To be honest with you, I know that I want to do better for not me, but the next generation. That's it. But that path, it's always the tangible things we can think of. I just don't know where that path is going. And with, you know, the Tower Pass situation and COVID and leaving fitness and the know it soul and the flywheel thing where they're like, you're too much of a cyclist and not working out with Peloton. All these little things, you know, you could see them as like hurdles and adversity. But the reality is that like, it's what you make of it. Essentially with sports, I really didn't. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, I'm going to the NFL Olympics. That was it. Like, I had no other mindset. Everybody was like, they knew I was a good athlete. That was Junior Olympics with the best in the world, right? And right before the Junior Olympics, I broke my ankle. Like, all these random things that take away the peak of opportunity, and it just keeps pushing me to work harder. And we have adversity. We all do. And I talk to everybody that comes through the room, and no one talks about it. We have really good faces, and as far as like keeping these masks about who we are. But I do know this, is that if I come from a good place, like with my kids and my wife first, everything else works out. It's hard for me to think that, because I think I'm still 20 years old and take all the risk in the world. And my wife pulled back, she's like, chill. But fitness, the transitioning to fitness and sports was when I was doing the triathlons, and that was my escape. I was doing really, really well in finance. You know, I have so much time, I just start running, and then it was just start cycling or swimming. You know, like, I'd be on analyst calls with headphones on, going up over George Washington Bridge for a 50-mile ride back and doing laps around Central Park. Technology allowed me to do that. I went to Professor Denise Shravastava, and I went through a really bad situation, a divorce, and I just didn't know who I was. And I was like, I'm not happy. Like, I got the things, the excitement, the endorphins, and that excitement of like the apartment, the this, the that mm-hmm. trip. It was great. And then it just went away. So there was no longevity. I was always back to like, I'm not happy. He suggested a silent retreat where I didn't talk for a week, and that just was not my cup of tea. I think a change of scenery might be better. And he's like, all right. So instead of not talking, I've been to China a couple of times. So I flew a phone call and made a decision to start through China a couple of places, Singapore, and made my whole base in Hong Kong, and was doing triathlons and running and just meeting people. I came back and he's like, so what are you gonna do? I was like, I want to be in sports. I want to work with that. And he's like, what about your degree? Why don't you talk to this company and you can build stadiums? I was like, it's not the same. And so I was like, I'm gonna take 1 year off. I'll just focus on triathlons. I was comfortable enough where I could do this. And then I was gonna be a bike messenger. I don't come from money. So like, I gotta keep making money even though I don't have it, right? So like, I have to justify. I always make fun of like, you pay to fit, go on a bike that goes nowhere. Yeah, we pay a delivery guy to drop off food for us. The place you're sitting was my first spin class was here. It wasn't the like, oh my God, it was so soulful. I cried. It was like, oh.
Well, first of all, tell me who brought you here. I know a little bit about it, but share with people, what was that like? Were you hesitant? Give me a little bit more insight. People always remember that first class.
Yeah, it was, so it was here as Madeline Starkey, I think it was. I don't know if she teaches anymore. She's probably actually in Malibu teaching. So this guy named Sean, we were really, really close. At the time, he's the head of Soho House. He's like, dude, 50 women in a room. What's wrong with you being single coming here? And I'm like, it's girls, dude. Like, it's not a workout. That's all I kept saying. It's not a workout. And I came in and... hysterical. Walked in, I'm like, whoa, this is just like all women. It literally was. And my eyes were like, all right, let's go on with this girl up there yelling, spraying water bottle on people. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is definitely not the Equinox cycling class. This doesn't make any sense. So I'm like, all right, cool. And they're like tapping back. And by the time my bike on the sidebar was sideways facing the front row, like I was bunny hopping the bike. And I'm like, whatever this was, I'm in the best shape of my life doing like Ironman. And I got destroyed. I was like, all right, I want to do this. And I did. Took my business school resume with a photo. And I was like, listen, I qualified for national championships. I don't know what I'm doing, but I feel like I need to do this. And I sent it to Flywheel, sent to Peloton, and sent to Soul. Peloton brought me in immediately.
What year was this?
You know, 2015-16.
Okay.
This is like 3 weeks later after my... Yes. Soul brought me in. Flywheel gave me a couple classes to take, and then I auditioned, and they just said you're too much of a cyclist, which to this day, I don't understand that one at all. It made no sense. Peloton, the girl that recruited me, she wanted me, and I just was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that was the thing. They're like, oh, we're just going to put you up there. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know music. Soul was like, we will train you, but not even in the training program, which is why this whole thing with them was so, like, weird. They worked with me for 3 months before the training road, one-on-one.
Wow.
Yeah, like they wanted me. I became really, really close with certain people. And sometimes when you come close to people and that person, I don't know who was in that group, that team, but when you flip, when you love someone, it goes hate really fast.
Yes, it does.
It wasn't that it was hurt me. It was like, what the F? Like, I did exactly what you wanted. They even said that you did exactly what we wanted. You teach exactly how we want, but we know you're not going to listen. We just know you're not going to listen. You're off brand if you're going to do that. And we have one of you already and you won't leave New York. And we have this IPO coming. And I was.
So there's only a lot to be one.
Essentially.
I mean, there's so many questions. My brain just explodes just on that alone.
I'm past it because I've actually met with not that one person, but another person that was on the team. And we met right after COVID, actually, when we took this space over. She's like, just gave me a hug. We gossip. There's always gossip. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, you tore up 18th Street. She's like, yeah, I know. We all. And I was like, took me 5 years to prove myself that I know what I'm doing. No, she's like, we knew you were that good. I can't explain what happened, but it was like, we knew you were that good. We had to keep the same thing. We had, you know, almost 90 studios and more are going. Like, you can't start padding these new people that are doing their own thing.
I guess from my perspective, as somebody who has taken the time to learn about the different platforms and programming structures and instructor training at the big three or four in that time,
yes.
I was not only a consumer, but now I'm on the other side of things. The flywheel thing, them saying that you're too much of a cyclist is hilarious because they never really rhythm rode there. And I went there for 8 years, so I know that as a fact. And then one day I went to SoulCycle, I was like, oh, this is rhythm riding. Yeah. For me, SoulCycle always felt like the type of place. And to some degree, it still does now, even though it's changed so much, where the people who are not the ones that fit the mold go to teach. Every time I hear you say that they said that you were off-brand was their thing for so long because they were the first to just let instructors be themselves and do whatever. There's a sequence, but you don't have to follow it.
So 2015-16 was their IPO.
Okay.
Okay. And so basically you had to be the same. If we dropped you in Denver or Toronto or London or wherever they went consistency. And we were the largest group 23. We had, I think, 40 plus trainees.
Wow.
It was huge. Them working with me 3 months before, there was 9 of us. We were like this precursor to the training program. program that they're like, we are going to make you stars. And before even with them getting me through the whole thing, right. I didn't have an audition. I came in and talked, and they were like, this is a whole thing. Ex-athlete. I'm not your normal theater kid dancer, right?
Yes. They focus definitely on performers. And that's what we were talking about after the class. So for anyone listening, I just took your class. And one of the things I heard one of the founders say a long time ago was that the way that they evaluate instructors, aside from the skill, like we'll teach you how to rhythm, right? Sure. Yeah. Right. We teach you how to program cue. It's that magneticism of a person. Like when you walk into a room and you take an instructor's class, do you want to go to dinner with them after? Are they that interesting to you that will keep you coming back and paying $40 a class or whatever the premium is? That's one of the things I observed when you taught. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I didn't want to because I just wanted to look at you and watch you ride. And you merge that athleticism and musicality and just ease. I'd taken a lot of classes and evaluated a lot of people. I didn't feel like you were putting on a show for anyone. You were just being yourself.
Yeah, you're
so comfortable. And that ease is so hard to come by. And so the IPO being behind it and corporate being corporate and doing what corporate does, that does explain a lot of things. Peloton just wasn't appealing to you at that time because you just weren't sure how you were going to tackle it.
It wasn't even like considered anything at the time. They didn't have Robin. Like I went to school with Robin's husband, so I know them very well. And I played poker with a bunch of the guys. That style, the whole thing they have going on. I think they had the Trek road cycle team at one point teaching classes. It wasn't the team that it is now.
Right.
Like even before COVID, that wasn't the team. It didn't make any sense to anybody. And I took the class. I also was never about me. I was saying for like the social media thing, I hate video. If you ever look at any of my videos, I have a hat on. My face is like kind of covered. I'm hiding as much as possible. And people are like, you need a shirt. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to. Going back to that, like Peloton at the time, 2015, it was just some random studio. So it didn't have the appeal. But later on, I did get approached. I did audition again after that Soul because of Robin, actually. And John Foley was like, whoa, you know that you're live. Like in the nicest way, it was like, you're going to kill one of these people in the middle of America. This bike, we can't control the situation. Can you tone it down? And I literally just said, there's no way. I was like, that's just against everything I believe in, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I ended up talking to them again, and I became the business person. That's where I took my roots of like knowing businesses and understanding this business for the last 5 years. We have something different that people need on their platform. And that's the whole situation with going back to Soul was we were different than Soul, right? And they keep calling it athletic, oh, you're fast, or like it's, you guys all just see the Instagram stuff. You have to be in the class to understand, right? Like,
right, I can attest to that. yes.
It's not, that's just for show. Like anybody that walks in here, I have had, even in class, I've had friends that are still, they're like, this is electric. This is different. This is not Soul. Everything about it, it's never the same. And it's always a 6 week thing that we change. So like we might be doing fast and like a lot of choreography, or we're doing heavy hills with a lot of sprints, or, you know, we have the boot camp that a lot of people keep forgetting about, but we're not posting a class that used to be invite only. And we just started bringing it to the public. People don't understand that like we're trying to succeed in one of the most difficult markets to be in.
For sure.
Against billionaires. But it's me, my wife. Versus SoulCycle, who's owned by Equinox, who's owned by Related, right? And then at CycleBar, who was a publicly traded company at like $1.9 billion at 10 companies. And then you have, you know, one of our other competitors who raised tens of millions of dollars for one studio. And that's it. Like, there's no other cycle studio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I have to be very stringent on the way I speak. You have to push the limit. You can't be afraid to get canceled. The situation that happened that everyone's been talking about, I do have a lot of respect for them. Is a whole topic that we deduced together and I figured out. If it happened from the people that I know very well who ended up text messaging me, this is not against them. This is a corporation situation. This is not about any individual.
Mm-hmm.
I want that to be understood. That is $2 billion companies that came after a small mom and pop shop.
So you get told no. What does Joey do next? Like, what happens after that?
So I actually went to this small little spot on 13th Street. It doesn't exist anymore. And they were literally failing. And I came in and I remember taking their 7 a.m. class on a Wednesday. It was me, the owner, and the instructor. I'm like, where are the people?
Right.
And this was prime time group fitness. I went there and then it was 100% wait list. And my instructor, Sam, will attest to this. A lot of people will attest to this. I was teaching 6:30. People would be sitting outside to get into the 7:30, sitting outside to get into the 8:30. And I was like, this is insane. we had a short-term contract, and I was like, I want equity. I don't care about the pay scale. I know I just turned this business around, built the entire team, built the training program. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I cut your costs, did all this. I don't need you to pay me $300 a class. I want equity.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't do it until I left.
You only had formerly been trained by Soul.
Yes.
So how were you able to transition to developing your own brand at a studio that really didn't have the resources or the instructors to even share resources with? What was that process like?
This is hysterical. I can't believe this is going to be a lot. All right, cool. I tell this story. I have to because it's funny. I'm banned from Bumble.
You are?
Not for the reason why you think either. So I had a photo of me and I was single. I just swipe right on everybody. You know how they have to talk to you?
I mean, I don't, but yes.
So this is pre-wife. I'm single. But this is the thing. It was all business for me. And
smart.
So when they messaged me, I just put my schedule.
Oh, yo. Wow. Fipros, if you're listening, that's why you need to spread your brand around.
I was just.
But they came. Why wouldn't they joke?
I was come for free class, and I got banned because I was promoting a business. And I'm like, well, what's the difference between promoting the bar that I might go to? And I had a whole thing. And you can't do that. I just started thinking outside the box that no one was thinking. I was like, so what sets trends, right? Who sets the trends? Models, actors. And so I was hitting up agents. I was hitting up agencies. Now everybody caught on to that. And basically it was like, yo, come take class. And eventually what happened, they would end up like, oh, I like it.
What was that bridge between you having fully that Soul training and then you developing your own voice as an instructor? Were you just fucking winging it? Today, my honest feedback from you today is that it felt like you were just vibing with us. It didn't feel like you were searching in your brain for whatever programming you had told yourself you were going to do today. It felt very easy and reactive to what we were doing versus, I'm just going to tell you what I memorized, so here it is, right?
Yeah, so that's new. I was very structured. It used to be written out and then BPM, very structured and flawless. Everything was analytical. That's my background from NYU and Columbia. It was just analytics, right? So I looked at numbers all day long, spreadsheets. So everything had to be particular. I love the Soul thing, right? I think it's different, but they definitely push people out. There's definitely a genre of men that are super feels so fake, feels so you're reading from a poem book. It's just so unauthentic, right? And guys, in my opinion, they don't want that. Most athletes, they want truth. They want empowerment. They want to hear not your struggle XYZ and you're crying over it. Empowerment and teaching people to actually attack things and using my experience to lift people up versus sitting in an emotional characteristic, because that's easy. I could play an entire playlist and be like, I'm going to put a sappy song on, tell you something super inspiring, and you're going to cry. That's easy. That I could teach anybody to do. I could teach all those girls in that class to get up on the point, put a mic set on, and be like, follow the formula, put a sappy song on, say something really upsetting and emotional about your dating life and how he cheated on you or she cheated on you or XYZ. Everyone's going to connect with that and cry. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to do that too. Yeah, not great, but you're missing a whole genre. And the genre was that people don't want to sit in their feelings that long. They want to pivot and conquer. They want to do better things and attack and build each other up. And so that was the approach to get people to this active meditation where basically, like I said, in the beginning of this, when I stepped on the football field, stepped on the track, jumped in the pool, everything kind of went away. So I had to get down to that point of chaos in my class, chaos, pure fucking chaos. And basically, it's a lot of trial and error over the last 7 years, but they're like, what is he doing? But then it became, let's use the body the proper way. Let's literally study how people's bodies should be on the bike, what speeds and resistance and what drops and what combinations of this BPM to this BPM, back-to-back songs and transitions and really what does it do? And then a year later, when I opened the studio, I met my wife and girlfriend at the time, obviously. And I was like, what are you doing? Oh, I have to watch what I eat. I was like, I got fashion week for Paris. I'm like, fuck that. You can eat whatever you want. I'm going to design this. And I designed the program for literally her, so she can still eat healthy and get what she wants. And she was started booking more stuff. One of the things that the agency said, that the company's been saying, is they all looked washed out and exhausted, that very heroin chic situation. But she walked in bright eyed, bushy tail, yet she was lean in tone shape. We leaned into that. And for anybody that says that that's not an actual thing, that's completely inaccurate by any means, because there's a thing called long twitch muscle, short twitch muscle. And decathletes, which was what I was at Pitt, and triathletes have this combination where you're long and lean. And long and lean is the way the muscle fiber works. That's the long and lean.
Yeah.
Not that you're tall and thin.
Yeah.
It's a misconception, and it's just that's the way we phrase things. And then the misconception of women were like, I don't do cycling because it gets my legs thicker. Well, it's the way you're sitting. And then it was the way the form was. And then it was like, what are you doing on the bike? And everyone was pushing. You're basically doing these mini squats. And the reality is that you're not clipped in not to fall off. You're clipped in to be more efficient. So you should be dragging your foot back and kicking forward using the whole circumference of the flywheel. And this was one of the things that actually I got an argument with one of the training officers at Seoul. And I was like, what are you talking about? You don't drive your knee up. That's why you're clipped in. Any cyclist will tell you, what are you talking about? You're not going to just push down.
Yeah.
And that is the misconception. Like, oh, that's going to bother your hip flexor. What the fuck does that matter? That's going to just build your hip flexor up, not just your quads. And so knowing from playing baseball, playing football, doing swimming, running track, you end up like learning all these different things. And so I would take a lot from track specifically, where we did these workouts where you sprinted the straights and you jogged the corners, but you do this for like 2-3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like put that, because that was continuous workout. And it's exhausting, by the way. And that's this huge elevations in speed and resistance and slowing down. The music, that just came with time. I love all music. It just
your playlist was phenomenal today. I felt like we hit all the genres.
So that is my new thing, to stay with as many genres as possible. But what's interesting you're saying is vibe. My playlist used to be like 9-10 songs. Now it's like 30, because I'll see how the class is going and who's handling it. And I will like, all right, is that working? No, we're going to go this way. And so this is another level of like CFST training, which is like certified functional strength training,
mm-hmm.
where you progress or regress in certain things. So I've added that into this, where it was like, we could do this on the bike the same exact way. It's not even about the speed. It's I'll run some of those like 300 BPM, 320 BPMs, like the whole thing, not just jump it.
Right.
But you like look at the room, you're like, all right, they're struggling to like, you know, the 256s. So you're like, all right, we're going to chill. Like, let's see how everyone kind of gets it. You know, some people are new. So you kind of cater to like the advanced, intermediate, beginner, and you just have to be good at that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you noticing that, because that is actually, this year is about that. It's about the group, because like the key word of group fitness is group.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep forgetting that. And it's the camaraderie and stuff. Like, I could teach one person and feel like 50 people in the room. I could teach 50 people and it could feel like one person in the room, right? And so,
do you think that comes from experience, or do you think that comes from Joey being Joey?
I don't know. I think COVID did it.
For me personally, and I've said this on the podcast before, COVID took me to such a dark place as an instructor that now I'm like, who gives a shit? I survived that. So like you, I can teach one person. It's not awkward for me because I was forced to do it for so long, and you just get desensitized to it, right? For some of the newer instructors, and fitness still is in some areas of the country, depending on modality and brand, to pre-COVID levels, some of them are still teaching to a handful of people every day on the schedule. Is there anything that you can think of that you can share with people on like what helped you, especially in those beginning days where you were still finding your footing, still trying to take whatever you knew from your sports experience and translating it into fitness and the people in your room? What would you say?
There's a book called Freakonomics. There's a thing called a connector. So connecting people. Your job is not to be friends with everybody in the room. You can't. We can only have so many people in our circle. This whole like social media, like, oh, I'm friends with everybody. And no, you're not. There's no depth. It's all shallow. It's the same situation in this room. And I teach 4 to 5 classes a day. Some packs, some small, you know, we don't have brand recognition. I get humbled very easily in a day, but I'll get super excited at the end of the day, right? Or the beginning of the day. Like it's all up and down. But connecting people, saying their name constantly. And I think one of the biggest things that made us better and different, this is actually from clients, was like, I would come in and wish they would just look at me. If I came in the first time, you said my name. The moment I walked in the door, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I went to that person for 7 years, paid double price to be front row, and he never said my name. I remember that. That's always been us. It's not like the extra mile. It was just like, this was always about the people in here and helping them. Like, that was our community. That was our friendships. You know, I know people look up to us and I appreciate that. But at the same time, like, we run a business and we want to help people. These relationships get so good, they get cocky in some ways. And there's a lot of back and forth in some of the classes, which are we dying laughing. And we're trying to show that more on social media now, that like these classes are not just like, oh my God, they're just go, 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 go. Like, that half the time you're laughing at each other because like, we know about XYZ's dating this person. This one got the promotion. This one got engaged.
Yeah.
And they all know each other. And it's just like, you want to be a part of it. It takes time to learn how to do that. So being the connector, right? So in the beginning, it was easy for me. I would find someone else that has like minded like me. And essentially they would be my like promoter. to be corral those people together. Like, yo, you got your group. Social media has made this a lot easier for people too, but it also can kind of push people away. We strive our best. I'm at a point in my life where if it doesn't look good me contacting people, right? Like, I'm married, have two kids. It's awkward. One, it's awkward as hell for me to do.
You're no longer sending your schedule on Bumble, to be clear.
I'm definitely not dating.
No, I understand what you mean.
It's awkward. So we try to teach all our tricks to our instructors, and I didn't care. I just wanted people in my room. If you didn't like it, fuck it, whatever. If you loved it, stay. And if you did, tell a friend. And you need to learn that, like, every day, you have to train a way that, one, you're always changing your playlist. Two, that, like, you have a formula, not just in a class, but, like, riding a bike the same way every single day. Yeah, you might lose water weight for the first 3 weeks, but you're going to plateau.
Right.
And then there's diminishing returns. Your body gets used to it. So you have to shock your body so many different ways. So why we've been successful, it's been a little bit harder now because of the economy and interest rates and New York City is expensive, is the fact that, like, they consistently get shocked and awed. They're like, oh my God, I thought I could do this. And that it changes. And like, what did Joey do today, right? And it's that excitement. Like, what is he in the mood for? And Pilates, it's definitely having its moment, but you need more. Like, you really do bone density, cardiovascular health, like all these things. There's a reason why you need to sweat. There's a reason why getting rid of bad cholesterol. Like, you need bone density. Like, all these things are scientifically proven, not just for looks. Whereas Pilates is like, I'm just going to get tone and tone and tone and tone. It's great, but you still need to burn and strengthen. And we see a lot of girls that, like, have overdone it at certain studios, and they come here and they're like super skinny, and then they build up muscle, right? And then we have the polar opposite. What I always said, it was just like, I just want people to want to be healthy and be better. That was it. That's always what it's been. I don't think you need to be here all the time. I do believe that the people that see the best success are here 5-6 days a week. If they do 5 classes a day, that's so stupid. Like, right? Like, I love the double once in a while, right? Because it's just like kind of, it's a little into you, right? Like, we used to have 100 yards 100 times. You don't do that every week.
No.
Like, you're really dead, right? Like, you just push yourself once a month or every 2 months to get yourself to do something because it shocks your body to kind of get out of that rut.
Of that threshold.
So the connector.
Connector, I like that. Tell me about, they don't give you the equity at this studio. So now, what do you do?
That was a shit show, actually. And this is probably like the most disastrous part of my life at that point. Didn't really know what I was going to do. They sued me because I did a charity ride at JCC. And I was like, what the hell has that have to do with anything? Obviously, that was thrown out because it was a charity ride and everybody came. All I did was post on social media. Right. Like, right? So at the time, non-competes were, you couldn't have them. Now they don't exist. So they're irrelevant.
No.
At the time, so I had to figure out ways around it. And so I actually was going to get a box truck and buy a bunch of bikes. And I had me and my dog, Baloo, and we were going to go city by city and do pop-ups. I had a game plan, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, State College. I was going across the country and basically building this like huge following across the country, like almost like a new rock band situation. Tony Robbins.
I'm into it right now.
Yeah. So
it's great.
So I was like, this is a thing. And then there was a company called IMAX Shift in Dumbo that IMAX, the theaters, owned, and they went out of business. And so I went to go get the bikes and I put an offer, and then they gave me the whole space. And I was like, what? They're like, they gave me the whole space. What do you mean? So like, you could just have it. What? I was like, I just want the bikes. They're like, no, we just we're done. This is
take the whole thing.
This is not working. We went out. I got this build out, right? And then all these speakers and all the bikes. I said yes, and I underwrote it, which is what you do in analytics, right? The per capita income in Dumbo is amazing, and there was the people are there. Yeah, well, that is not the case. It's a lot of tourists. A lot of people that live there would go into the city, work out, and then go, shower there. And like, even the Equinox that was there in Dumbo was slow. It was a reality check. I had 8,000 square feet, big ass studio.
1,000 square feet.
It was huge.
My God. I always wanted to go there. I never got to.
It was huge. We've had huge parties. We had kid parties. It was a blast. We ended up not renewing because Brooklyn Library signed a 100-year lease on the Edge, and just soundproofing. They're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, they literally were just like, no. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, we're doing really, really, really well. And they're like, yeah, that's not, you're so loud.
Right.
I'm like, there's not, they're like, yeah, no, there's not. It's a library. So we did boot camp. We had boxing. I was training at Gleason's at the time. So I trained for a while before we even started Punch Out. So like, a lot of these studios, I find it hysterical. Where's the boxing actual stuff?
It's an entry point into the actual sport.
But when I do things, I'm not doing it from a point of like, oh, I just want to do it.
Right.
I want to like educate myself on it. So at the time, our Black Label. Now that's the boot camp because we changed the name. We had that with the mats, and we've been doing it for a while. It's very successful.
So it was multimodality at this new place.
Yeah,
sort of cycling,
boxing, and a boot camp class.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, we were doing really, really well. And
what year is this?
This is 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20. And so we were there for 2 years, and then we moved to the main street of Dumbo, and that became Punch Pedal. So Rhythm Ride, we got rid of Rhythm Ride because there was a trademark issue.
Classic.
And I got a letter from a lady who doesn't exist anymore. The lady places.
But she had the trademark.
We had boxing at the time. We weren't just cycling. So it was, and we had the boot camp. So it was Punch House, Pedal House under one roof. We had two different studios. And the goal was always to like expand, to get into Manhattan somehow. I think me and my wife hit it perfectly. Like, I know we were crushing it. We had 25 instructors. We had pop-ups on top of Empire Stores, which is that Dumbo area next to Carousel. We had a relationship with one hotel. I had a space. I was doing stuff at Brookfield Place. I was doing stuff at Soho House. We were just busy, right? Like, we were packed classes, busy all the time.
From your story, I know that there was a point where you weren't doing well and you had to let your staff go, but that was before COVID.
This is probably the hardest part about having your own business in this industry. If you're really good at it, you expect perfection. And so you expect your instructors to be perfect. I hired a great staff and I had a lot of Waldo. I forgot about this. Wow. It was only like 3 weeks into it. I lived on the Upper West Side with Bulu, and I was commuting from 90th Street in Central Park West all the way to Dumbo every single day. And I was teaching 7 a.m. and I was teaching 6:30. And Blue wouldn't come with me all the time. So I gave up the apartment, moved into the studio, and I didn't even care. I was single. And I, like I said before, I was like, I'm not dating anybody for a year. That was my goal. I moved in. I was sleeping in the office on the couch, and I was by myself, cheating all the classes. And
you taught like 40 classes a week.
Yeah, it was crazy, but they were packed. So it was like, we were making money. They were only taking my class. That was
right.
But it wasn't 40 immediate. That was in November. But September, I was like, I am so effed. I had a business partner at the time. She kind of like flaked out on me at one point. I just went, what? You didn't even give me money yet, but you were supposed to be my backing if this happened. And she flaked on me. To this day, I don't trust anyone. Everybody left. It was just me. I'm teaching. I'm like, I'll figure this out. I ran into an old friend. This is actually how I met my wife. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, chilling. She's like, how slow? I'm like, oh, I'm not there. I was like, where have you been? She's like, oh, I'm modeling. And she's like, I'm going to Paris. I'll come to class when I'm back. I don't think anything of this. And out of nowhere, Siete hits me up literally like 2 days later. She's like, I got this friend. She's in Paris. She wants to open up a studio. She's thinking about going to Soul Cycle Training, but she can't do it full time. Could you just meet with her? Met with her. That's my wife. I sat there and I'm on the phone, Baloo's playing with her. And she stayed for 5 hours just talking. And I just told her, I was like, I'm broke. Everything into this, I'm fucked. And she came the next day, and then the next day, the next day, and then the next day. And then she just was like, do you need help? I'm like, no, I'm good. She's like, let me help you. I was folding towels, doing this, doing that. She's like, where are you staying? I'm like, here. She's like, no, you're fucking not. I'm like, yeah, I'm sleeping in the couch. And I had to go teach at Soho House. And then she's like, all right, can I just stay with Baloo? I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't fuck. Like, what are you going to steal?
Right.
50 fucking bikes?
Right.
There was this huge 1,000 square foot like storage area behind the office. She made it into a mini apartment for me. And I was like, oh, fuck, someone actually really cares about me, right? And I was not dating anybody at the time. This is what's even crazier. I was very straightforward. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It just all of a sudden started clicking. I moved out of there. I just needed to save money. I had 8,000 square feet.
What I want to highlight, especially now after spending the morning with you, and so many people would have just felt so desolate, hopeless. I'm teaching every class. Is this the time to walk away from it? I think for me, especially when I learned about your story in the past year, I've stopped counting how many people that I care about have walked away from their businesses. It's impacted me personally. Some is just colleagues. You know, it would have been so easy for you to say, I tried and you did it. And I just want to know why.
So it's funny you say that. There's a thing with Soul. When they open up the barn, and it's always stuck with me, they all slept upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to prove to anybody anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
you say anymore, but you're still so young at this point in your life. That perspective doesn't come so young. Seems like it's such an easy out. And you were like, no, I'm not going to take it.
My wife will say there's been a dozen times, way more, I should quit. She's like, you just don't give up. You thrive in chaos. You like it. You see opportunity. And if you fail, you always learn. You're so determined because I don't come from much. And I got a lot of things taken away from me just because of that opportunity. You have to take it 100%. And It's always that story. Like when Jeff Bezos has his same desk that he uses with 4x4s underneath to remind where you've come from. That we have that photo. Fucking twin bed. Oh, it's so sad. But then it worked. You have to be willing to give it your all. If you always have 1 foot out, your energy is going to always be on that 1 foot out. You have to go all in.
There's a lot of people in business right now who are not only not fitness professionals, opening up studios left and right. Not only are they not in any capacity certified, trained, yeah. Some of them haven't even taken the class for which they bought a studio for. So they're definitely not all in. Then you see somebody who is, and they're trying so hard, and it seems like the odds are stacked against them. Kind of a fork in the road for fitness right now. And a lot of people are just bowing out, or other constraints are pushing them out, maybe against their will. If there's anything you could say to someone listening, even as a fit pro myself this past year, I felt like, should I just move away from fitness? Have I done what I could have done here? Now it's time for me to pursue other things in my life. I think there's a lot of people listening, whether they're studio owners or not, who probably can relate to your story besides your character and who you are as a person. What can you say to them? You know, you stayed and you met your wife. You stayed and your whole life changed, but maybe if you quit 2 weeks before, would that have happened?
Do you ever hear of AA? They had a lot of really great sayings. Don't quit before the miracle happens. It's one of them. I've always heard that my entire life. Sometimes you do need to know when to quit and when you not to. When we had to let go Dumbo, that still hurts us. You don't even go to Dumbo. Nada was pregnant, painting on the walls. I literally built it with my hands. Like, I actually physically put the walls up, ran the wires. Carpenter-wise, I did all of it. All our studios, I've done. Even our house. You have to sometimes put yourself first. If you see any type of light at the end of the tunnel, if it's like you're canceling classes, there's 3-4 people and it's just never growing. It's either something's going on with your class or it's just something that's out of your control. So many things are against studios right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have class mats. You have gyms realizing group fitness is huge. So you have gyms investing into the group fitness model, going, we're not a gym, we're a group fitness, and they're acquiring brands to bring them in. And or you're seeing businesses close and being desperate, like, hey, I need a place to be because I have these people. And then you have inflation, rents that are still high, and you have electric bills, stupidly expensive. Inflation's going to happen. You have projections. You need to hit these numbers. You're not paying your bills, you're just throwing good money after bad money. Yeah, it might be tough. You know, I had my Saturday mornings that were stupidly packed. I had my Tuesday nights stupidly packed. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings packed. Sunday afternoon slammed, right? So you had energy that was there.
Look for the glimmer of hope.
Yeah, but it has to be there. And if it's not there, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You have after effects where people are trying to pay these rents that when we left COVID, we negotiated. We're like, yeah, we'll be back in 3 years to back to normal. And we're not. And then you have ClassPass who suppress pricing. They 100% suppress pricing. I will go on the record again. I know the source. I'm not giving it up. And it's 100% correct. They paid $15 million for a student loan. $15 million. And it's from the fucking horse's mouth. And I also got it from people that work there. I know they did. It's not a level playing field. You have these companies that you're supposed to pay $38 a class. That business model works in Manhattan, $38 a class. As an individual, go on ClassPass and you pay, you know, $12 to $15 for the studio. You know, these bigger companies, yeah, it's $12, $15. They already got that $15 million.
Right. They got that lump sum.
They got the lump sum. So it's okay. They can pay their bills and everything's fine. They just have to budget properly.
Right.
Becomes the old gas station idea. If that one gas station cuts their prices by half, the other three are not going to be able to keep up with it until they go out of business. And this one skyrockets up. And that's what's happening right now. Who has enough money to survive the situation? I also believe the idea that people just don't care as much. This is enough for me.
You think that that's true?
Yeah, I think there's this thing going on where I don't need perfection. I don't need intensity. I don't need this full roof. I just need like 30, 45 minutes and I can just do that at the gym. The mentality has changed.
Of the consumer.
Yeah, the consumer. I've never seen so many people directly say I'm broke. Like that was never the case ever. Everyone did that, right?
Yeah.
No one was like, got laid off. People didn't say that kind of stuff. They're like,
or I can't afford that.
Yeah, like no one.
That's a good point.
And so,
especially not in New York City.
Especially New York City.
Yeah.
I never did. And I've had moments where it was like, how do I pay for this? Everybody has their up and downs and you know, it is what it is. I'm not saying it's all down, but the majority are hurting.
Yeah.
We all have to pay bills. For the studio owner that's in, let's say Scranton, Pennsylvania, you have to be smart. you know, how do you use the colleges around you? How do you get the people that have disposable income to come? How do you change the mentality in that this is health and wellness? How do you do pop-ups? How do you do marketing? How do you get people through the door? Free does not pay the bills.
No, right.
And that's the thing that's going on right now in New York City. Everybody's fucking free. My wife says it all the time. She goes, I see our ads. I was like, what do you think? She's like, it's the same thing like everybody else. It's discount this. I want someone just to say, you're going to feel better. I don't give a fuck about what I look like anymore. I got two kids. You are already with me. I don't need to look any better than this. I'm like, okay, touche. She's like, they'll take me in my good and bad. I was like, I know that. She's like, so then who am I looking good for? And so there's also that age bracket that has kids and they're like, I'm happy. She's like perfect food wise and what she puts in her body and everything. But she's saying what I'm looking for now is not this intense, amazing workout and screaming and stuff, which I want that. I don't need it 5 days a week anymore.
Right.
I need the stress, the anxiety, the everyday things get me out of my head. So I can just deal with the kids, deal with the changes and everything. The class to her used to do that. But now that she's an instructor and that she owns it, that kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
My happy place is not here anymore. If you're an instructor and you're a business owner, you still have to take care of yourself. I would always jump in the pool and swim 30, 45 minutes because there's no music.
Right.
You're by yourself. You know, that was the cool thing about triathlons. There's no music.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have a
triathlon. You have to just be with yourself and your thoughts. Yeah.
Scary place up there.
Yeah.
But you need to take care of you. You know, that's the one thing my wife says all the time. It's like, what about the kids first? She's like, I know Joey wants this. I want this. But like, is this healthy for the kids?
Yeah. The changes once you start a family. Yeah. So let me ask you, for anyone listening, I know you said it a couple of times earlier, Pedal House on 18th Street is the old SoulCycle space. COVID comes and you're still trying to get into Manhattan. How does this space come about?
Probably could have got a better deal, but like I walked in, I was like, I'm taking this. This was full circle, everything. Lana was already shaking her head. She's like, thought I was out. I thought we were done. She's like, I thought we're done with this shit. We're going to move someplace warm and tropical. But I said, there's blood on the street. Lean into it. That's why Wall Street is, right? And so we moved into this small little apartment here in Irving. And we're like, we're going to do this.
I've heard you say over and over again how your growth has happened slowly, organically, and then a sticky way. I intrinsically understand that. And I know what that means. But if there's a way for you to describe how you created that stickiness, especially after COVID, you have said, and I agree from my research and other people, I think that's why you're still here.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, we got rid of our front desk staff. And we have it when we have back-to-back classes. We make our instructors check people in. I'm sorry, but you do. Why? You can learn people's names.
Touch point, yeah.
Touch point. You could ask for me and my assistant, do you need a front desk? He asks me all the time, I'm like, no. Like, I don't want it because that relationship is just so much more. Like, I get in conversations I have to get out of all the time because, like, I care about these people, right? One, they feed my family. They actually have relationships that I love hearing about and the things that they're going through. I learn from them just as much as they learn from me. When COVID happened, I went into business mode again and I was like, what do we have? I had multiple studios, storage of weights and just stuff. So I just started selling the crap out of them because you couldn't get anything off Amazon. I sold a pair of, I think, 20-pound weights
for $500.
Oh my God, stop.
I was like, I can't sell it. He's like, I will pay whatever. No. He's like, I'll give you $500 right now. I was like, of course. Fuck that then. But we rented our bikes out immediately. It was not even a question. It was immediate. I was renting them out. This is going on for a while. We rented them out and we started making money. We started doing classes online.
Right.
And then we had all these free classes doing really well. And then I had to have back surgery. And that's not because of the bike. I started doing renovations on the house for the kids. And basically, I slept in a backyard and my back just seized up. And I had to have surgery 2 weeks later.
I believe it. My husband threw out his back when he sneezed one time.
Yeah.
So it's real.
That was my second back surgery. So I had to stop making videos. We're still making money. People were like, could you just put something new on? They're like, we'll still keep paying. And we were like $99 a month. Wow, it was expensive. They were so much on there. And they needed it. Or else they would afford it and it was working. And so we did. And we crushed it. And when the gyms were open up, she yelled at me for teaching 6 classes in 1 day. She yelled at me. She's like,
we're just so excited.
She was like, you don't need the fucking money. What the fuck? I'm like, she's like, no more Sundays, no more Mondays. So I'm like, all right. She's like, but you're done teaching. You're not teaching 6 classes on Saturday. We had our ups and downs. We lost all our instructors. A lot of them left. A lot of them like moved home, opened up their own studios or studio managers and master instructors. They messaged me, asked me questions, how to do this, how to do that. Some were still like come in, hype us up. We had one of the best teams I've ever thought we would have. What is the stickiness and what is getting people in here? It's personality. It works. The workout works, period. And it's not these quick fix things. Like if you go to F45, like, oh, you're going to do this and you're losing the weight. Yeah, 3 weeks. And then it's plateau. Your soul, a couple weeks, and it plateau. And the cycle bar, I don't even know anything about the formula. They're like, you need to stick to it. My biggest competitor, like, I have a lot of respect for him, and he has a lot of respect for me, from my understanding. And we're the ones, everyone's like, they're crazy. No, we're not. That's your show.
Right.
For a show.
Right.
That gets clicks and views and all that stuff. But you go to the class, it's structured properly. Athletic background. And that's what it is. He's there, I'm here. And that's the thing that for me, I had to realize that this is more than, this is not a business. This is me now. And so right. My wife said that. It's you.
How do you pass that on to other instructors to create the stickiness then? Because then it's all back on you again, right?
Yeah. So this is the thing that we're even having an issue with. This is the crux that we're actually going through right now, is how do we get people to trust them? Kind of got to force them in a way. We have our ways of getting instructors to get them comfortable. And we ask the clients, what's the feedback? Kind of a little sassy, they say. Just think we're better than them. You never want to hear that the riders are better than the instructor.
Yeah.
And that crushes me. Some of our riders could be better than most instructors in the city, especially in my 7 a.m. crew. They can
so dedicated.
Yeah, yeah. They can walk into any studio and be better than any instructor. And this has been said when we went away. They're like, oh, what do you teach? They're like, no, I'm a rider.
Yeah.
And why is the stickiness? It's not the same. I don't cry on a bike. I don't have a digital aspect at all. They're here for the community and the inspiration to be better. I've seen people go from these really low-paying jobs to empowering them to ask for more. Find the no today. If you're not getting told no today, you didn't challenge yourself enough. Everyone says, like, oh, we're trying to be inspirational speakers and all that stuff. But the reality is I've actually experienced all this stuff. I don't write it down to say it.
Right. And that's what I think made your class feel so different. Not to interrupt you, but when we finished and I went downstairs and I saw one of the girls standing and I asked her if you always set the music and sort of just like talk to us. Yeah. And she said, yeah, he always does that. It was inspirational. I felt motivated. It gave me like the reset mentally and physically that I needed. It didn't feel disjointed from the class structure. And it also didn't feel forced.
Mm.
And I think as an instructor, and I'm not someone to be like super inspirational, I'd rather just play a Drake song and let the lyrics move you however they move you, right? Or the rhythm, because I feel like the athleticism of this modality, especially in rhythm riding, is so beautiful. I don't want to talk over it. And I felt like when you did, it was just natural, easy, as if we were conversing, not something that you memorized. And that's something that's missing in a lot of instructor training programs and a lot of instructors in general, especially the new ones, because they feel that pressure because they do see only the
instructions.
Yeah, right. So that's why people can't connect to that, because what the fuck do you know? Beautiful young girl in a sports bra or young male, you know, whoever it is. I think especially someone my demographic, 40 and older, it feels disingenuous. It doesn't feel authentic.
And they say, and you're just like, oh, honey.
Right.
I mean, we don't even know.
Right.
I always have my Gen Z versus millennial moments purposely, because it's not like I don't think they work hard. They really do. I just think they haven't experienced enough because they've been so like protected because of the COVID situation.
Yeah.
All these couple of
isolated. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you got a job because it's easy. I'm like, that's not actually the case for any of the times any millennials. Like, we had 2008 crisis, we had 2014, which was like the oil situation in Ukraine, the first Ukraine, and then COVID. Like, we've always gotten kind of cracked in the face with haymakers at us. A lot of people don't know how to make it authentic. I say enough where you know just enough about me, but not the details.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, I can relate. I kind of always have like some type of thing I talk about for the week. I just kind of go with it. If I see people's eyes light up or they check themselves out, I'm like, all right, it's kind of like wrapping up. My instructors, my wife, they're like, you know the crowd very well. Like, you read people super, super well. You're not just sitting there looking at space and talking.
Yeah, you're very self-aware and you're being reactive to what, mindful to what you're experiencing energy-wise. What is it that you impress upon your instructors? Is it consistency? Are you, when you're training them, when you're bringing somebody in, are you just letting them go? How do you structure that?
We have like a formula that works to get people in your room. And if you don't listen to it, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know, we just know. Like, and if you're doing it, it's not working, it's not going to work. It's tried and true every single time. And like, we've lost a couple of instructors because it's forced the wrong way and the personality was not working. It was polarizing.
Mm.
A lot of instructors that we have lost over the time, like, I hate it. I hate feeling, but I think because we are the mom and pop, people forget that we're still bosses. This is my fault. My wife says it all the time, is you got to start sending emails versus like voice notes to people.
And
she's like, you got to send a corporate email. I'm like, but I don't yell at them. They're very like, hey, can we fix this? Can we do this? My instructors, when we bring them in, one, it's not a job, first off. It is, you get paid, but I want you to be so obsessed with the class, not me, the class, that whether you're on that bike, you're here. One of our other instructors that's really good, she's obsessively in my class, even though she teaches multiple classes. My other instructor that is now rising up to like more classes that she just got hired, she's in the classes, right? Like they see her and they want to be in the class.
She's in the community.
She's in the community. And so that's one. And then so when we bring people in, and you know when someone has that wow factor on the bike, how many people go, oh my God, she's an amazing rider. I just look at her when you like walk off the bike. Or I look at him, they got that visual, right? And then it comes out like, how do you change the personality to be comfortable? And so that's the working part. And then we have a formula for 3 weeks that you have to stay with. So it becomes when you have a bad day, because we're not always happy, right?
You know.
And you don't want to be on that bike every day. I especially don't want to be on it like 5 times a day. And just be like, fuck, I have shit going on, right? And I have to be super happy and I can't be pissed at you. And this is also my business, so I can't yell at you. And it's also not pre-COVID where I could walk out. You have to learn that like sometimes you need a foundational experience where I know this class works and I want to move on really quickly. And that is one of the things that we grain in them for the first 3 weeks of them on the schedule. Also, that personality comes out because they get bored and they're forced to get off the bike and learn how to interact with people. And they're forced to go back up on the bike instead of letting them go free for all 3 weeks after that, depending how it goes. We then give you combinations that you're allowed to do with like the first couple songs and then the combinations with the middle part. And then we're like, all right, you can do this, but you can't do this.
And that's always changing every 3 weeks?
Well, no. Then it's like that section's like 6 months because there's so many thousands of different combinations by then. And then when they go to my speeds, same things, you have to do it flawless. Flawless. It has to look like effortless. I don't need you dying up on the bike.
Yeah, no.
And then it works. The problem is that no one gets to that level because it's either insecure, right? A lot of work, but once you get there, actually no work anymore. So when you say it looks effortless for you, and you go to my wife's class, it's effortless for her. You go to Sam's class, your Alexis class, effortless.
But it's good that they're immersed in the community.
So here's the other thing, Lux community. Your community is not just your front desk and your instructors. Remember that. That's the other thing a lot of these studios do. They lean on front desk, front of house. That's what they love. That's their touch points, right? And the staff, it might be a great place to work. But you have to remember, that's not your community. The community is the people. That person might have taken 30 classes. You still don't know their name. That's the difference between stickiness. Like, everybody knows Shamia. She's my assistant.
Yeah.
She's not even front desk. But everybody knows her. They know all the instructors. They know what's going on. Social media has helped it. What's sticky is that they don't want to leave each other's life. They're all interacting. We don't do anything more anymore. They all connect each other. And like, hey, they're runners. They're going to marathon. Hey, they're doing a half marathon. Hey, they play on a soccer team. Like, that's the stickiness.
Yeah.
Because now this is a home zone for them. It's like, oh, I need to go do my cardio.
Okay, I want to be mindful of your time, but I really want to ask you about something you said before. Since I joined this industry as a fitness professional, in the beginning of it, it was, we're moving away from aesthetic and we are an experience. We are not a workout. And I would be like, okay, but like sometimes people are of athletic background or are looking for that athleticism. That isolates them from the equation. And now slowly we're moving away from that. And now we're adding strength as one of our modalities when we're supposed to be a cardio-based workout, right? Because everyone loves strength. And I agree with you before you said something about strength training is great and cross training is great. Yes, you should move your body in any which way that makes you feel good. And you shouldn't be limited to one. And now I feel like people don't even, and by people, I mean myself and my colleagues and some people that I know, we don't even want to say that you want to work out to burn calories or look a certain way because you're going to get canceled because now it's all about mental health and it doesn't matter how you look. But I just feel like the onus behind that is that we're trying to be inclusive, but that sounds divisive to me. Like if you want to take a Pedal House class or any fitness class and you want to lose weight, that's okay. And if you go somewhere and feel like it's not enough of a workout for you and you're not challenged enough and you want to go somewhere that physically challenges you as an athlete and whatever you describe that to be, that's okay. But I know I'm afraid to say that and other people are afraid to say that. Why? Why aren't you afraid of being canceled?
Because everyone's thinking and I don't care. I know the definition of you want to try to cancel me. They've been trying to cancel me since I entered this industry. They have, and they're not going to. A hashtag was taken out of context. I didn't know I had a big platform, period. I actually did not know I had this platform. that's my ignorance. I'm also just like, I'm stuck in my world of my kids and my wife and running a business. Mm-hmm. I ask my clients what they want, and that's what I give them.
Right.
If they say, I have wedding season and bikini season, I want to get rid of my thighs and my muffin top, that's what we're going to work on. My wife was not eating healthy, so I changed the workout for her body type so she could get
the results that she wants.
Yes. Right. So this is changing fast. I get the whole like body positivity thing. There's thyroid issues and people have hereditary and your body physique. I get that. But that still doesn't mean you shouldn't get up on a bike or get outside and run and go swim and look to be better. Condoning eating double cheeseburgers and sitting there like that and then be like, I'm beautiful, in my opinion, that's for somebody, right? But that's not healthy. And it's been scientifically proven that like health and wellness, cardio, swimming, biking, strength training has helped you. And eating like shit doesn't. Oh, I'm diabetic. All right, cool. But you could not eat sugar every day. You could have a thyroid problem. You could still work out. This is what my product is. If it's exclusive, it's exclusive. If it's inclusive, it's inclusive. That's your opinion. This is what my ethos is,
right? And that's what I really wanted to come here and meet you and experience, because for anyone listening, this reel that you posted about SoulCycle and some of the comments that you get, maybe because I'm older, you were saying you and your wife were of a different generation. I don't think you and your wife are as old as I am, but I'm saying
we are. We are your age.
We are not from the generation where we air oral laundry out. Like, some things are just kept to ourselves, including our opinion. So if I come across something on social media that doesn't resonate with me, I don't feel the need to comment and state that it doesn't resonate. And I guess that that's where the disconnect is. I'm not myself as a fitness professional happy in the direction that fitness is moving, because it's making me feel like we are becoming the opposite of what we want ourselves to be, which is more divisive. If someone comes into the room and says, I really want to lose weight for my wedding, I don't think the onus is on us as fitness professionals to say like, well, that's not really the reason why you should work out. You should work out because you love it. And then it's meant like, oh, cool. Great. Come on in. My name's Maria. Let me know if you need anything. That's the frustration that I feel. So when I come across people who have chutzpah and just like step into your power of just being like, this is my opinion and I'm not a terrible person. And if you think so, I'm sorry, but this is what I do.
So these are like all, what do they call them? Action words, I think they call words.
Mm-hmm. Buzzwords.
Buzzwords, yeah. Buzzwords. So
yes.
All these companies are trying to say, we're inclusive. Really? Technically, you're as exclusive as possible. You might welcome everybody, but you cater to this wider audience, but like you push out, talking about one company. Like, what about straight white males and athletes?
No, and you said before, and I agree. And that's my husband. He would rather die than go to a class where people cry. And that's the truth. And I'm a fitness professional, and I've cried in some of these classes. And I go to them.
But so, how is that not that's my
right?
Thing. Like,
yeah.
Why aren't you,
so there's no place for him in boutique fitness right now, especially in suburban Long Island, to go to.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
No, they have CrossFit. Right? It's right. But like most guys don't want to throw a bunch of weights around. A buddy of mine was doing squats. I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm putting a barbell back on my shoulders and doing squats. I'm not scared of being canceled because honestly, it's my opinion, man. We live in a free society. And if you want to just keep canceling people, fine. We're going to get over that stage really quickly, which is obviously already happening. The reason why they're like, oh, it's exclusive, you should really want it, because it's a lifestyle. Because no one wants to use the word lifestyle. Well, the new word is now ecosystem. We're all trying to do a business in a capitalist society. That's it. That's all it is. It's capitalism. Mm-hmm. What sells? What is for the broader audience, right? Yeah. Like my wife lost a ton of job. She's white and skinny. That did not work in America. Still doesn't work for her that often. And it sucks. Like she lost a huge amount of her income. She adapted and moved on. She didn't go do a rant on Instagram about
it. Right. It was so poignant that you said that today during class, because I was just like, I fucking hate Facebook for that reason. And when you said that, I felt seen. And that's why I wanted to ask you that. I think I respect that so much about you, and you could easily go on Instagram and respond to all these.
My wife told me to stop. So did my assistant. They're like, Joey, you're doing so much bigger things. Like they're just trolls. They're like annoying you. You have a platform. You're just entertaining these people that are private with no following.
Yeah.
You know what? Let them bitch, right?
Yeah.
And then you see another fitness professional where she like raised her prices and some woman attacked her for it because her husband's rich. And I was like, fuck this. Like, people are like, Joey, you're toeing a line here. I'm not toeing a line. I have free speech just as much as anybody else, but I'm not using it, my platform, to attack anybody. It's to protect. It's always been to protect. And then the other aspect is that I don't appreciate the fitness professionals that preach health and wellness, yet don't do their workout and say, this is how you're going to get in shape because of this workout. That bothers me. I get it. You have a job. You're probably like a great personality and you're loud and you have good music. But like, don't preach health and wellness to me. And if you're doing the workout, don't lie to your clients that you're also going to like another gym and working out. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing that bothers me, because I don't have time to go do anything. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. When I do swim and I do run outside, you're going to know because I'm posting about it. I don't have the time to do that anymore. The bigger company online, all their instructors, they go do other workouts. They're like, I don't think I sweat like that. Why? I'm entertaining. I get paid a lot of money to talk for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That is my problem with what's going on. It's not about, oh, you want to come here and lose weight, or there is a place for fucking everybody. And I truly, truly believe it. And I have tried. It doesn't work in this place. It just doesn't. We've had great instructors, great personalities. People don't want to take the class.
You know who you are. You know who you service, and you stand behind that. Yeah, and I just think that that's really admirable. A lot of people are afraid to take that stance right now.
I would love a bunch of guys, all different races, to come in, because guess what? Like that, unfortunately, no one walked through the door. Our men's bathroom is never used.
I almost went in there. I was like, I bet no one's in there.
I know we have no guys, and it's not our fault. We have tried. The majority is going to win.
Yeah.
Just like Taylor Swift, she moves mountains, right? It's like that moves economies. People are like, oh, she took over the NFL. She drives ratings. She drives sales. She drives this. And it's not because
the people drove
it. The people drove. It's a new category. So advertisers, broadcasting, they're going to talk about it because that genre is the genre that spends money. And that genre is the one showing up. You know what? For all the people that want to attack my class and all this, come take class.
Yeah.
And then talk to me.
Yeah.
Because
that's where I get pissed.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, no fit pro, in my opinion. And we agree. Yes. We all have our private opinions. Yeah. But to be tearing each other down on Instagram, it fucking upsets me so much. Wherever I am, whatever brand I'm from, and I don't particularly see something that I like in whatever you're doing, I just think to comment on each other is just taking us back instead of forward. And if you really want to see, take class. So I agree with that. I want to talk about Power Pass.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. The whole class pass thing, is that what kind of led to Power Pass? Yes. So go ahead and introduce that. Tell me about it. You have about 1,000 people signed up for it, I think, right?
Yeah.
Tell me how you think it's going to change things in the ecosystem.
ecosystem. So studios are going to benefit. It levels the playing field. So essentially, as a studio, on a revenue basis, that's what we care about. Say you spend $10 at a kickboxing studio. That kickboxing studio is going to get $6. But then $1 goes to the app/website for the company. And then $1 goes to this shared referral basis. And then the extra $2 that's left over goes to the community of studios on the platform.
Mm.
So it's a shared co-op situation.
And they benefit from lead generation as well.
They benefit from lead generation, revenue on that, introducing new participants, introducing studios, even the clients. So if the client refers in the studio and that studio stays on for the next 6 months, they're going to get revenue from every sale of that. The point is basically everybody's making money equally, not someone like giving a huge check to one to be on it and discounting the pricing. There's going to be controlled pricing for studios. You will have to have a group discount situation. You can't pay just $38 unless that is a high demand class, mostly on Class Pass and Gym Pass. You can't book those because it's discounted, right? So that's one. You control the pricing. We don't control the pricing. And it's dollar for dollar. That's the point system. No one knows what the Class Pass points are. But the other thing is the reviews. Reviews is one of the biggest things that no one really talks about. They're verified. Everybody's verified with an ID and photo and a name. So when you review, you're going to have your picture, your name. You cannot be anonymous. So
can you opt out of it as a...
You can't leave the review, but you can leave a review to the studio, but it won't be public.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
And the reason being is that we've had corporate espionage against us multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
We've caught it. We've caught it purposely. We got so many batteries that made no sense.
Right.
They're like, there's SoulCycle logos everywhere. We're like, what are you talking about? That was like one of the letters we
Nothing got. That has to actually do with the class itself.
It was always about something else or they're late. That one annoys me. 50 people in a room, that one person is late. That person's late. Get on time. And they're like, oh, we need trains. Use Google Maps.
You look. Start on time always.
Yeah, every single time.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. we actually locked the door.
You do? Yeah, maybe I need to start doing that shit.
So, and then with the participants, you still get that discount and that rate, and you're going to have more access and opportunity. We can't launch until we have enough studios. We have a lot of studios, but not in one location. They're all like spread out all over the world. We can launch any city at any moment because of the cloud-based architecture that we started. It's just efficient. At the end of the day, like the app and the website need to make money to run. That was the one thing, because there's like API stuff they have to pay for. we would give it all back. We wanted a nonprofit, but we can't because of the APIs and everything and their different countries and all that stuff. So put it this way, in the simplest terms, SoulCycle said no to me, and it took me 5 years to take over 2 studios, potentially a third. ClassPass said no to the wrong person, and they've pissed off so many studios.
So many.
And so many people. And
so many.
And they pissed off the wrong person in writing. And it was, you know, they'd even try to sue me. They try like, oh, we're going to bring a lawsuit. Like, okay, go ahead. We don't believe in what you said. And I was like, all right, cool. Some people believe the world is flat, but it's absolutely not flat. So if you don't have a lawsuit or anything coming to me, please stop emailing me. And they did, because nothing I said in that at all is not truthful. And I have proof.
Right.
Everything. And for 7 years, I've kept quiet with Soul. I've kept quiet with ClassPass. I had a really great relationship with ClassPass, actually. Really good. We've had our arguments, as businesses do with all things, and those arguments were fixed. They really were fixed. Fixed a lot of things that they were doing wrong. And the review thing, they said they'll never fix. The point thing where you can't control, they will never fix. I knew they were cutting checks. I knew they were. Like, how the hell do you think SoulCycle on there, right? Like, SoulCycle, like, well, we're going to sign up and just take $12. No. They have no competitor. GymPass is like corporate. People come into fitness and don't realize, like, I'm actually a business person first, then fitness. Right? And so it might take a long road to happen. So I have the studio, but I promise you.
You'll get there.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
We're laughing because it's going to be like taking candy from a baby. They take no risk. They don't pay any insurance, none of the staff. They don't care about the clients. They don't care about their opinion. You don't know what you're getting paid. You don't know if you're going to get paid properly. You built an entire thing that disrupted the industry. Congratulations, you did that. That made no money by you. It was acquired through Mindbody.
Right.
You attacked the wrong studio in the middle of one of the biggest markets. Of course, I'm going to stand here and come after you.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of Soul. I'm not scared of barriers. I know these people. They know me. I love adversity. I thrive in it, and I will accomplish. It might not happen today. It might not happen next week. It might not happen next month.
I think that's a great note to end on. I love that. He eats adversity for breakfast. All right. Joey, thank you so much for such a great class experience. The studio is beautiful. The vibe is great. And you've been so gracious and really kind. I enjoyed the class. I know you have two little ones and your wife are business owners. And something that you pride yourself in is that you've been family owned the whole time and you've never taken money from anyone. And I want to just state that to anyone listening, that means you actually have to work extra hard at everything 24/7 all the time. And I know on a smaller, tinier scale, how hard it is to just get away from having two little ones to have an hour to yourself. So the work that you're doing here is amazing. And for me personally today, I enjoyed the class very much. And I think that that's why you have growing power and staying power and stickiness, because you genuinely are meant to be doing this. And this is a special place.
Thank you.
All right, cool. All right, let's go into rapid fire. So I'm going to ask you some questions. It doesn't have to be one word answer or rapid in any way. You answer whatever you want. Joey, what's your favorite song or artist to teach to move to, or both?
Oh, I got Neo and Jay-Z.
Oh, wow. Jay-Z.
And Usher.
Yeah. Are you excited for the Super Bowl?
I like Super Bowl. I'm never a big performance fan, but yeah. No. I'm not like
the sport part?
Yes, the sport part. Yes.
Only the halftime show. It's so funny. If you could only use one word to describe your teaching style, what would it be?
Undefeated.
Oh, I like that. The best smell in the world is?
My kids.
Yeah. Both of them? Yeah. Oh, so cute. They are very beautiful. You have a beautiful family.
Thank you.
The most important personal and business lesson you've learned thus far is?
Personal business. It's so hard to separate both of them. Literally, it is the hardest thing to do, separate both of them. You're going to lose a lot of friends and family focusing on yourself when you're in business, period. Because a lot of people are going to be opinionated about how you're supposed to do things. But you have to know your own instinct. That is the one thing. Is like, you have to stick to your instincts. Take advice. And that's all it is advice. You're the one making the action. Your ego is the one that's going to be damaged. Your pride is going to be the one that's going to be damaged. So when you take that action, your instinct from your friends and family and or advisors is just advice. That doesn't mean you have to do it.
Well said. If you could do any other job, career, besides the few that you've had, what would it be?
I would definitely play football, or I'd be pole vaulting and doing decathlons in track and field. I wanted to build a building on the skyline of Manhattan. I went to school for development at Columbia too. So I have my master's in it. I wanted to be a developer.
There's always time.
Yes, I know.
Still time, Joey. Don't give up the dream.
Yeah.
What is your favorite way to recover after an intense workout or class?
So sad. I don't recover.
Right. When you're busy.
When you have kids, there's no such thing.
No such thing.
Honestly, it's just the couch, the kids running around.
Just spending.
Yeah, that's it. I do not stretch, which is terrible. When I am drinking, it would be like bourbon or red wine, but I'm not right now.
Okay. Bourbon. Yeah. What is your favorite movie or musical?
I'm a huge fan of Tom Cruise's like Mission Impossible.
Did you watch the new one?
Yes.
It was very good.
It was very good. Very long.
Yeah.
And when you have kids, you don't get through the whole thing.
Okay. I'm so glad you said that. I feel less uncool. It took me 2 or 3 nights to get through
it. I passed out. And I was like, what is this off? I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to turn it off. That was good. He looked so young. Good movies. Just like really good movies. And all the Oscar like nominations, we like try to like burn through those before the Oscars. That's our thing.
Too. Yeah. It's kind of fun to do that. All right. Well, you've inspired a lot of people throughout your journey, but who inspires you?
Wow. That's a deep ass question.
Go as deep as you want.
Growing up was different compared to like now. Growing up, your heroes, your sports heroes, and my grandfather and my grandparents. As I've gotten older, it's more my wife, to be honest with you, to deal with me in this business and to deal with the kids in this business and me. If she says the right thing, just tell me something to get me through this. In the bad days, I'm on the bike. I gotta teach 5 and I can't do this. She'll just say something. And it's always, no matter how bad the argument was, she switches it off and we're fine. It would be her, to be honest with you. She's my inspiration. She's everything. Literally. My gifts were what she gave me, the kids. Yeah.
Love that. Thanks. My husband always asks me what I get him for his birthday, and I'm always like, I gave you 2 kids. That's your gift.
I tell her not to give me anything. I'm like, I'm chill. Like, what do you guys want?
You know, we've been together a long time, but when you've been married, especially when you have kids, I'm like, well, you know, I don't need a gift. Like, let's spend the day together. Let's do something fun. That's just more meaningful.
Memories.
Yeah, memories. How can people connect with you, come to Pedal House and take a class?
Yeah, come to pedalhousenyc.com, hit me on Instagram, FoleyNYC, and then PowerPass. Sign up for PowerPass. There's a referral program. You sign up, it's $250. And then you refer a friend, it's $250. If you refer a studio and they use your link for the first 6 months, once they're signed up, you will get a percentage of their revenue.
That's amazing.
Yes, yourpowerpass.com.
Yourpowerpass.com. We'll put everything on the show notes so people can click into it. Joey, thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.